interviewed artist Satsuki Shibuya last year at a very pivotal time in my personal and professional life. That interview gave me what I needed to show up honest and true. It changed me in ways I really needed changing. So of course I had to have Satsuki back. She's the first repeat guest on the Creativity Habit podcast, and I'm delighted to share her with you again. In the first interview, Satsuki shared about childhood traumas and her decline into illness as a young, successful entrepreneur, how that illness almost destroyed her, and then how, in the end, it's what ended up saving her. We talked about her personal and her professional life. In this interview, we dive more deeply into Satsuki's mind and heart. She shares so much hard-earned wisdom about art, purpose, and how to live a beautiful life. Once again, I found myself deeply moved by Satsuki, and many things I'd been questioning became clear. She is an amazing artist who is committed to making what is true and helping others connect with what matters most. Hi, I'm Daphne Cohn, founder of the Creativity Circles Collective, and you're listening to the Creativity Habit Podcast, the practice behind the art, the story behind the artist. Today's guest is painter, writer, and spiritual guide Satsuki Shibuya. In this conversation, we talk about knowing and living your purpose, how to put your work out into the world even when it's not always received with the kind of love and praise you were hoping for, Satsuki's four-step creative process for birthing and launching any new project, how to know if you're on the right path and how to get back on if you're not, and how to balance trusting in the universe and going with the flow with the more practical, disciplined aspects of building an art practice and business. May it inspire you to make your thing and change your world. Hello, Satsuki, and welcome back to the Creativity Habit Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's a true honor to be here.
It's a true honor for me as well. You are the first person to be a repeat guest. The first interview that we did together had a profound effect on my life and my work. Like, really. Yeah, I can, like, I get emotional just thinking about it. So I'm just so happy to have you here. I'm going to start with one of your poems called Privilege. The work we do is not of boasting, but of privilege. A privilege bestowed upon us the moment we came into this earth, carrying the gifts we decided to bring on this journey, to share with others and supporting one another in the awakening of spirit. We are reminded when our heart cringes from lack of support for a vision we deeply cherish, a part of our being yearns to create, to express our deepest desires, our thoughts, our dreams, vivid, vibrant, and full of life. There is no wrong way to live such a life, for if it is fueled with heart, only love can reside. Let us embark on this love-filled ride, full of surprises and expansion. For we are here not as robotic beings, but full of light, ready to fight for what we believe in, love. Okay, so the first question that I have on that is why you started with the idea of we're here not of boasting, but of privilege.
Most of the poetry that I write, it's interesting because people ask, you know, were you always writing poetry? Is writing your background? And I think just like painting, writing poetry, and now it's kind of extending into writing, is a lot of times very similar to channeling for me, where it's almost like it comes as spurts of energy or just words start kind of, how do I say it, like downloading almost into my brain. And so this was one of them. And it was, I think, triggered by an article I was reading where it talked about youth culture. And one of the things that they talked about in the article was posing this question about how, as a society, we put on pedestals these celebrities and people of power and money and, you know, just the people that I think tend to be thought of as successful, that that's kind of the way that it is structured or presented to us. And so I was thinking about that, and the idea that only the privileged or only certain people can attain this status, or only certain people of a particular nature can, you know, be the selected few, you know, just this, that whole idea in itself. It's only true because we make it a truth, and it's not truth in a sense of how it is in reality, because every living being on this planet, whether human or animal or, you know, beyond, we all have our innate gifts and our innate purpose of why we're here, whether it's a rock or the wind or, you know, the our dog or cat. You know, every living, breathing entity here has a purpose. So when I start to expand on that idea, then it started to bring, you know, this download of words, which was kind of the premise of how that poem started.
So when you say every living thing has a purpose, do you mean a purpose like this is something we're here to discover and to share? Like, what do you mean by that?
Right. I think purpose in multiple levels. So I speak about, even in this poem and elsewhere, purpose as our gifts that we bring with us to this earth. And I think a lot of times, you know, people are a little bit shy or a little bit scared almost to harness that. You know, a lot of us, we don't say what our gifts are. Like, for example, you know, sometimes depending on who I'm speaking with, you know, when I tell them that I'm an artist and I'm a writer, and I feel that that is my purpose here, one of the things I'm here to do, you know, they'll kind of look at me strange, like, well, you know, how can you say that with so much sureness? And it, for me, it's not so much about this boasting or like, oh, I am this. It's more, that's how I feel is connected to my true nature. That's where I feel the most at home and I feel the most free is when I'm creating. And so that's why I say that these are the things that are my gifts. And that could be one purpose, but purpose also can be just being. The fact that we exist on this planet, that we are here right now living and breathing, is testament to the fact that we are supposed to be here at this time and place. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. And when I speak to those who are later in their lives, you know, kind of going into the 70s and 80s, and some, many people are still in search of like that life purpose. A lot of times what I bring up is that, you know, yes, purpose can mean this thing that we wake up in the morning excited to do and that we feel drives our life forward can be purpose. But the fact that we even wake up in the morning and that we are here still and that we're breathing and thinking and sensing and being, that in itself is proof to us that there is something, you know, we are here. And a lot of times I think we take for granted that just existing, even within the context of family, even in the context of community, or even just with ourselves, that is a huge, huge, huge purpose deal, because, you know, we never know when our existence is affecting another. For example, when you just shared in the beginning of the interview, and you had written me an email, Daphne, that our past conversation really, truly moved and changed you. I was really moved by your thoughts and an email, because I honestly didn't know. I don't know, you know, because I'm the one that is sharing and it's not, you know, on the receiving end. And it happens to me too, where somebody that walks past me that completely changes my perspective on life. And that person might have never known it. They were just doing their thing and being themselves, and that was it. So that in itself, I think, is also purpose. So purpose could mean so many things. I think it depends on what part of it that we're zeroing in on.
Well, and I love the idea of purpose can be us being ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's so easy to get caught up in how can I be more like this, or how can I look more like show up like that person. But if we think of our purpose as showing up as we are, just truly being ourselves, that in and of itself, that's a big deal. Like that is a purpose. I can see that as a purpose. And I like thinking of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
even when you said, I tell people I'm an artist and a writer, and some people will look at you and say, well, how can you say that with so much confidence, basically? And it's like, we don't say that when someone says they're a doctor or a teacher. We don't, how can you say that? Like, what makes you a doctor? What makes you right. a doctor? Like, we do that though with these areas that are so much about expressing who we are. And so when we do that, and then we don't get the kind of support, and our heart does cringe, like as we put ourselves out, our truest selves, as we live our purpose, what do you have to offer someone who is doing that and then and in that painful place of not getting the support?
And it's a good point that you brought up, because it's true. Certain things that we identify with, you know, people won't question. And it's really interesting how other things, you know, people look at you like, really, you know, but, you know, and I think honestly, this area of your heart cringing, it's on so many levels, because it doesn't necessarily have to be someone telling you straight in your face that they don't agree with you. It can be something as slight as a look that someone gives you, or even on Instagram, not getting a like because you post something, or, you know, you put a blog post up and you're not getting as many comments, or not getting as much traffic. You know, there's so many ways that we get these subtle hints. And I think it's something that I continue to struggle with as well, because as I progress in my own career, there are times where I question, you know, am I fulfilling what I'm here to do, what I feel like I'm here to do? Am I hitting the mark? Or am I hitting the bullseye? And there are times where I think, no, maybe I should be doing something else. Or, you know, I feel like maybe my art is not connecting with people on this deeper level that I'm hoping it will, or what I'm writing, you know. So I go back and forth thinking, okay, maybe I should do this. Should I try this? And I do sometimes. I put out things in hopes of it being that deeper connection. And a lot of times it works and a lot of times it fails, and you just kind of have to go with it. To give you an example, so recently I had this idea that came to start a separate leg of my business, maybe even coaching people how to tune into their intuition and bringing that as a driving force into their business. And it's something that I feel very passionately about, but that also requires energy and attention, and it's not easy. And I know people who have built their businesses off of an idea. So it's not something that you just, you know, do on the side, as with anything, that you want it to be potent and authentic. And so when I was thinking about that idea, the first questions that I thought was, okay, why am I wanting to do this? What is the reason? Is it because I'm trying to cover up another part of something that I'm doing that I feel is not quite working? Is it because I'm trying to maybe compensate for making more income because I'm feeling insecure about what's happening in the current business that I'm doing? You know, there's so many reasons why we try to change things and do things. And I think the tough question is always asking, you know, is this going to make me happy? Is this truly what I want to be doing? And I think as creatives, the reason why we are creative is because at the end of the day, we need to create and we need to express ourselves. And that's the most important thing, I think, is knowing if we're about to do something and venture into a new venture, or currently doing something and we think it's not working, why is it not connecting? So for myself, the answer was very clear once I started asking those questions, is that as much as I feel strongly about that idea, I want to be spending my energy and time writing and painting, because that's, at least for the time being, is where I feel my heart is and where I want to be focusing my energy. And so to those who are in pain, I think the best thing is always to, you know, put everything down, take a moment to breathe and simplify things, you know, really kind of get back to the core of, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? How is this bringing me joy and happiness? Is it? And if not, what is it about it that's not? And how can I start to shift things so that I'm back on course? And when we take the time to do that, actually the answers are quite clear. As long as we're honest with ourselves, I think that's the difficult part of being honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, we so want to sugarcoat things or make things, you know, less painful. But in order to get to the answer, sometimes you just have to go straight to the matter.
It's interesting to hear you asking these questions, because from my perspective, and I realize it's very different internally, from my perspective, I'm like, wow, you're one of the people who I see as so consistently to be aligned and to communicate really deep messages around your art. When you ask yourself that question, what are some of the ways in which you feel like, oh, maybe this isn't hitting the mark? Like, what is it that you would like your art to be doing, and if it's not doing that?
Right. I'm actually feeling very vulnerable and also very freed at the same time speaking with you, which I felt last time too. So I'm so grateful for this space, because a lot of times I think people, not only with myself, but in general, you know, those who put themselves out in the public, people come up with, you know, certain ideas of how you might be. And we all go through self-doubt and questioning. And I think that the reason why it might come off as clarity or knowing is because I have learned that the only way, at least for myself, to make sure that I am going in the direction that I feel I need to is through knowing after I'm pondering and wondering and questioning and, you know, simmering and all the things that we tend to do internally. Clarity doesn't come from just wandering around and not really thinking about things and just going. I think that we get the most insight, at least from internally, our own internal compass, when we quiet down and really listen in and to try to figure out, you know, what is it that's driving me to do the things that I do. I don't know if I'm answering your question clearly. Yeah, well, but
yes, and actually I'll follow up with this, which may help, because this comes from the poem Self-Love, and it really speaks to what you're saying right now. You said there are times when I'm unsure whether what I'm doing is right, whether it makes a difference, whether it has substance, whether it connects. And I had written that down because this is in the same way that someone will question, how can you be so confident about being an artist, or who are you to say you're an artist? Because that is part of our culture, that it's very easy as the creator to then question its worth and its value. And whether, as you say, like whether it has substance, whether it connects. And so I think that's really what I'm wanting to get at, because I do believe this is one of the bigger things that holds people back. And this ties into the beginning of the conversation of our purpose of being ourselves, of expressing ourselves, which is what we do with our art. So when this question's arising, what I hear you saying is, you know, there's the time to go in and to keep questioning it, but how do you keep moving forward, like keep creating with those questions surrounding you?
That's difficult. To be honest, sometimes I don't. I'm in a place where it's just too convoluted, where I feel like it's just too unclear, that I don't have the light, really, the energy to put into creating, because creating is like birthing. I feel like it's very similar. You know, you have to put a lot of intention, concentration. You know, people say, oh, you do art, that sounds so lovely and so nice, and, you know, it just sounds so easy breezy. And no, it's very, very intense. Very intense work on a physical level, mental, spiritual, emotional, all levels. And so there are times where I just don't have it in me. And I used to force it, because I was working through this idea of needing to work every day, needing to put something on paper every day. And yes, I think to a certain degree, I do, whether it's journaling or there is some creative output I do every day, whatever form it may be, but I don't force it anymore where, you know, it has to be like a sketch a day. At least for me, my school of thought is I don't think that that's necessarily always a good thing. But with that said, there are times where even if you don't know the direction that you're going or your purpose or am I doing, is this making a difference? I always go back to, again, that idea of trusting myself, not myself as ego, but trusting myself that I am the child of God, or I am one with the universe, or I am, you know, of existence, you know, however you want to word it. I think it's all pointed to the same thing. We are part of this one source. And what that means is that even if we're going through the unknown, even when we feel uncomfortable, even when we feel vulnerable, and even when we don't know if what we're doing is right, what we do know is that if we weren't doing it, it would probably feel even more not aligned with who we are. And it would probably feel even more like losing yourself by not doing it. You know, so it's either, okay, you go towards the unknown doing what you think you want to do and you're meant to do, or you go towards what you are not comfortable doing and thinking, okay, you know, I can't do it, so I'm just going to go do something else. And so what I tend to do is I just say, you know what? Okay, I don't know where I'm going right now. I don't know what's happening, even within career or even life in general, you know, with my own health. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what I do know is that as long as I trust and as long as my intentions are clear and as long as I know that I want to, you know, X, Y, Z, whether it's, you know, you want to make things better in the world or you want to provide for your family or whether you want to just spread love, simple, but very potent personal goals are intact. I think that that's a good enough compass to keep pressing on. And that's helped me a lot. And funny enough, the more I trust and the more I let go and the more I go into the unknown, the more things work out and the more things come together. And it's really quite strange and spectacular how it's orchestrated like that.
First, I just want to say that I think that is such a good point, because even recently, a big part of my work lately has been just to be as honest and loving as I can be in the work that I put out into the world. And then I started to question that, because it's so much easier to be really, to go to the safe spaces of accepted ways of being. And what you just said was so valuable about, it's basically, well, which one feels better?
Right.
But that's right. The answer is always just in this simple asking, mm-hmm. of what feels better. Let's speak for a minute actually to the fear around it, because one of the things about being a human is that we are led by beliefs. You don't want to get kicked out of the tribe, better if more people like you. So as we talk about this idea of, well, what feels better, there is inevitably the fear that either arises because of the action we take, or it's there and it's stopping us from taking the action. But that fear of being kicked out of the tribe when we share ourselves authentically, when we express what we truly want to express, how do you navigate that fear?
Two things come to mind immediately while you're asking that question. One is that no matter how much we try to hide behind this norm of fitting in and doing things so that people like us, and in whatever shape or form that may be, whether it's the way we look, what we say, what we do, at the end of the day, we have something internally inside us that knows something is off about that person. We might not know exactly what it is, and they might really cover it up very, very well, but we know, and it shows up time and time again where the reason why I think we as humans gravitate towards those who are authentic and true and real is because that just feels so natural to us. If you really look at the way that we come into the world as babies, I mean, no baby comes out, you know, acting like, oh, I should be a baby, you know, or like, I should be like this because my parents want me to be like that, you know. I mean, they're who they are, and we are so drawn to them because they're full of joy and happiness. All the things that we have internally within us that we come with, that we're just innately born with, that's what we gravitate towards. And so when we see someone who's doing what they truly want to do, even if they can be really kooky and crazy, there's something about them that just magnetizes us, and we're like, yeah, you know, that there's something really magical about that person. And like, I'm thinking right now about Freddie Mercury,
yeah,
and the movie and how it's been worldwide crazy successful. And I think the reason why is because he was one of those souls that was okay at the time to not be part of the norm. And it was okay for him to say, look, people don't have to like me, but I'm just going to be who I am. And there are many, many people in history who have done that. And in the beginning, there are a lot of people who are going to go against it and just say, you know what, that's not okay. That's not part of society. But then, sure enough, little by little, people catch on and say, you know what, actually, the stuff that that person is saying and doing and being is truth, regardless of how it may look. And so when I come up with the fear of, you know, are people going to judge what I'm doing? And it comes up all the time, every day for me, every day, every moment, you know, whether it's my own family members or friends, anybody really, you know, how are they going to think? What are they going to, you know, react to if I put this out or do that? But it comes back to, am I being authentic with myself and with others? Because I truly believe that that's almost disrespectful in a way when we are putting out a fake self. See, this is a part that is a little bit tricky, because there are moments where it's appropriate and there are moments where we have to be very mindful of it. And I am, again, a strong believer of the way that we say things, the way that we choose words. We could be saying the same thing and fall on deaf ears, or we can say the same thing and choose our words so that it really strikes at another's heart in a deep, profound way. And so what I mean by not being fake is you can still be authentic, but still be compassionate and still say what you need to say. Everything can be covered if you intend to make sure that, you know, you're conscious of the way that it's being presented to another. So there's that one aspect, I think, of fear. And then the other part is this idea of, you know, you're so worried about what other people are thinking. But if you really think about it, no one is as affected by another except the person that's thinking it.
Right.
Like, we're all so worried about what people are thinking about us, but if that's the truth, then everybody else is the same.
Right.
Right? No one is really looking at you. That's yeah. Another part of fear, you know, is I think it's very self-imposed.
Well, so this brings me to, and it's easy to say that, it's easy to see that for others. It's like, well, of course, just put it out there. You know, no one's going to care, or it doesn't really matter. It's so much easier to give that advice to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the truth is just what you say, that there's a lot of fear there, and that doesn't mean don't do it. It just mm-hmm. is like there's fear. So that brings me to something that you had said, which is you said, be humble but bold in sharing what you believe in and what rings true to your heart. And I was curious about this idea of humble but bold.
It's knowing that we have value within ourselves to bring and share, but also have enough sense to have an open ear and heart to hear from other people or other lessons that life gives us to bring into our own lives as well.
One of the things that you said was that when you are true, when you are aligned and you express that, that magical things happen. Like things line up in ways that you couldn't have expected, or there's all these synchronicities and things happen just in a really beautiful way. Can you give some examples of how that has unfolded for you?
Sure. I think it happens every day for me, actually. I mean, anytime I'm willing to let go and just go into the unknown, because there are times when I resist. there's actually something, it's a pretty huge deal for me, and I haven't really publicly shared it. But, you know, these past 7+ years of this mystery illness that I've been having, where no doctor has been able to diagnose it. And I thought, you know, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if things are getting worse. And there's nothing as scary as thinking that your health is deteriorating and not knowing what to do. You know, you just kind of go on with your day thinking that hopefully one day you'll find an answer. And because I've been seeing so many doctors, I thought maybe I just have to be okay with the thought that this is something that is not going to be resolved, or maybe it's just not really a diagnosable thing. So for whatever reason the universe decided, my OBGYN got pregnant and she left her practice. And I thought, okay, I'm, you know, completely without an OBGYN and, you know, wanting to find a doctor, because if I were to ever get pregnant, you know, I don't want to just be scrounging, and it's really hard to find a good doctor. I mean, a doctor that kind of understands my symptoms. It's difficult. And so I'm searching for this doctor, you know, and I'm calling these places and everybody says, no, we're not taking patients right now, whatever. So I thought, okay, you know what, universe, if it's just meant to be, please just, you know, help me find a doctor that I align with. And I did. I found a doctor. And at first, to be honest, I wasn't sure if this doctor was the one that I'm looking for, because so different from what I'm used to, you know, very matter of fact, very medical, very Western medicine oriented, which is fine. But I was looking for a doctor that kind of infused, you know, different modalities. So I'm thinking, okay. And this doctor said to me, after I told him about my symptoms, he said, look, I think you should revisit seeing a neurologist. And I've seen different doctors, including neurologists in the past. And he said, I think you should revisit it. And I told him, look, you know, I've tried different doctors, including neurologists. No one knows what's going on with me. He's like, no, I just think you should just try. And I said, okay. And he actually gave me a direction. And he said, you know, I think you should look within UCLA Health, which is the part of the doctor health program that he's in. So I, you know, he said, there's some really brilliant doctors. You might find something there. And I said, you know what? Fine. So I did. I found a doctor that I again, intuitively was called to find. And, you know, I found her and I thought, okay, great. I'm going to go see her. And I was expecting the usual, I don't know what's going on with you, or whatever the answer has been. I see her, and within, I don't even know how long, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of my examination, she gave me a diagnosis, a clear cut. I know this is exactly what's going on with you. And she had no question in her delivery. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I think she's right. And it was this clearing that I've never felt before. And for some reason, I knew that she was right. And I got chills all over my body, and I started to feel like I was going to break down and cry, because I've been in search for so long, like so long for this. And it happened so simply within 20 minutes, and I was out of there. And then I knew that, you know, I've been praying for this from the universe. I'm like, please just show me a sign, show me an answer, anything, please, for like 7 straight years. And when this came, the timing was perfect because I've been preparing for a possible pregnancy. I've been preparing work for a new transition. So there's a lot of movements that have been evolving in my life. And all the things that I've uncovered throughout these 7 years, I know if I were to have found out this diagnosis before and not have lived in the unknown for the 7 years, none of the things that have happened would have transpired. So being in the unknown and trusting has taught me that all the answers that I've been in search of up until this point too, whether it's career, like finding painting and then writing, you know, producing the book, and all the different things that I've been wanting to do have come true because I've let go of what I should do and just trust and be like, okay, universe, just take me on the ride, take me where I need to go. I'll just do whatever that I need to do that you tell me. And so that's been kind of like the most very, very recent, actually, example of just letting go and trusting and believing and then coming to an answer that that I've been in search of.
It's amazing. It's really amazing because it also shows that this comes back to the idea again of in the beginning of purpose, you know, we have different life lessons, and when it's like you learned what you needed to learn, and then there, simple, easy, 20 minutes, you get the diagnosis.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. I wonder with that, where, how do you hold the going with the flow and then the practical, some, I'm going to have these goals, or maybe you don't have goals, but you have a plan, or maybe you don't have a plan. I don't know. Like, how does it work?
The balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, what has been working so far, and I continue to tweak it, and, you know, as I do meditations and, you know, always going in, anytime that something needs to be shifted, I'll shift it. But the way that I balance the practical aspects, because I am also one of those people that I don't do things just frou-frou, and I have to have evidence and concrete proof, even when I'm working with the universe and energies. So, okay, so the process is, step-by-step would be, there's the unknown. Like, I feel like I want to do something, but I'm not sure if it's something I should put an action to. So I take that thought and I meditate with it and I sit with it for a while and I let it simmer. And for me, I have to have three concrete, pretty strong go signs for me to do something and act upon it. So whether it's through meditation, I'll see a vision or a dream, or through conversation, something will hit and I get the goosebumps and my blood starts rushing and I'm like, okay, you know what? I think this is a sign. So I look for signs that are very specific to me that I know is, okay, pointing to that idea. Now, during these meditations, I also kind of try to feel within my body, you know, I ask the question, like, should I do it? Should I not? Should I not? And I'll actually visualize it. And if there's any part of me that's resisting, then I think, okay, it's either not the right timing, or maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's for someone else who has the right tools and the right gifts to really bring into fruition. And all I have to do is just put it out to the universe and say, I want to do it, but I don't think it's for me. I really hope somebody else will do it. Please let whoever it is that's meant to do it find the path. And I'll just kind of let go. So, but if I do find something that really resonates with me and I get the three okay signs, then as a concrete benchmark for myself or like a goal, I'll either write it or I'll really start to visualize very specifically how I want that to come to life. And I'll go through the whole motion of like, okay, I'm going to start it like this and like these people might be involved and blah, 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 you know, and I'll just kind of start to build it out. And once I get a very strong vision, then I have a notebook where I actually log all the ideas that I've had that are very concrete that might take some time to actualize, but at least I'll have it in writing. And so I'll start writing it down and start drawing pictures of like what this exactly looks like. And then once I have kind of a broad idea of what that looks like, then I start breaking it down to like time frame. So, you know, basically, okay, I think to get to this final goal, it's going to take me these many different steps. And then those many steps, how long is it going to take me to actually fully bring it to fruition. And so I'll kind of break it down by months and actual tasks, or at least in the broader sense, what it is that I need to do, or is it something I need to outsource? And so that part becomes really practical. But I think the end goal is very, for me, spiritual, in that it's universe driven. And I'm focused on this idea that I need to realize. And sometimes it's not even a personal idea. It could be coming to me, for example, through like a dream or through some kind of vision where suddenly it pops in my head and I think, whoa, okay, is that something I need to do? Like, for example, the book, the Moment book, I never thought I would put out a book, but it just one day popped into my head. And so I thought, oh, okay. And then I went through this process, you know, of re-examining it and making sure that it's not just a fleeting thought that I'm having, that it's actually something I need to pursue. So that's kind of how I balance out projects. And as far as the day-to-day business aspects of things, I try to be very practical about it, in the sense that, okay, you know, I need X amount of projects per month or per year, or if there's like a projection of income that I want to make, I try to make it so that it's, again, still humble, and that it's not something where I'm like, I'm going to make $1 million in a year and totally unattainable. Although you can put it on the universe, obviously, that's fine. You could say, you know, one day, or universe, this year, I want to be making $1 million. I mean, you could put it out there, but I'm very practical in the sense of, but I do know what my physical body is capable of doing. And I do know that up until this point, I can do it without forcing myself and burning out. I know that this is attainable. Anything beyond that, universe, please guide me, is what I say. You know, if I'm meant to make more, if I'm meant to do bigger projects, then please take me on that journey. But as of right now, these are the things that I would like to accomplish in the coming year. So that's kind of how I am. Yeah.
Do you find that the process, like the 4-step process that you outlined, that's something that you come back to again and again? So for example, you get all the way to the timeline and you've broken it down into the months and the days. And at some point, when you're in that phase, do you ever find that you need to go back to, wait a sec, am I still supposed to be doing this? Or by the time you get to that, you're just really secure and confident?
I would say 98% secure and confident. And with that, because sometimes there's actually multiple things happening simultaneously. So I try to stick to one project at a time, just because, again, it's all about potency and really channeling your energy into the thing that you're wanting to bring to fruition. Because, again, it's not easy pushing out anything into the world. It's difficult work. So I try to stick to one thing, but sometimes there's things that take time and it unfolds very slowly. And so I might be doing something that's quicker on the side, you know, quick energy that I'm kind of shooting out. And then there's other things that slowly manifest that are moving at a different pace. And that's kind of the 2% where, you know, I'll be thinking, okay, you know, do I need to be focusing more on this other thing versus this current thing I'm doing? Or, and so that's the only time I sway. But otherwise, yeah, by the time I've broken everything down, it's just go time after that. I'm fully focused and I know that I'm on the right path. Now, during that process though of doing, I do make tweaks. Like, depending on what's happening in my life, or depending on how the project is going, new things start to reveal itself. And I think, okay, do I want to like bring that into this? Or is that a separate project later on? Those types of things come up. But as far as doing, there's no question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then how does the piece of, I know, like, I've heard you talk about creating in seasons, where spring is this time of reflection, summer is more production, fall is sharing, winter is regenerating, basically. Mm-hmm. How does that seasonal way of creating, that process, how does that factor into all this? And like, how do you honor the seasons, that your personal seasons, in the with the creation process?
Right. So I think that, so go time would for me be summer.
Okay. You know,
just like, I am on fire, just like really, really, it's just production. And that summer could last for 6 months. and during those months, you know, it's just focused energy. And I think sometimes you have to take breaks in between that because it's just so intense. But a lot of times, you know, you're fueled with so much, I don't know how to do, you're in the flow really when you're in that state. And so it's almost like energy is just channeling through you where it's not even about your own physical strength anymore. It's just like something else is taking over and you are just on fire. And the ideation phase or where I'm questioning and wondering and kind of, how do I say, like pondering deeper? I would say that's more like winter for me, where it's very going really deep inside and like meditating and kind of like quieting my breath, bringing the heart rate down, bringing the mind down. So I'm starting to zero in slowly but surely to find the actual answers that I'm looking for. And then spring would be the breaking down of things in a more productive way. So more realistically, you know, okay, how do I want to do this? You know, break it down to months and dates and, you know, tasks. So that for me would be springtime, kind of getting ready for the summer preparation. And that can be not completely real life. Some of it can still be spiritual. You know, I can still be tuning in to my spiritual side. How does this feel? Honoring my body. Does springtime preparation time need to be 6 months out? Does it have to be 1 year out? And it can vary and it fluctuates based on how I'm feeling also with the project or with my physical body. And then fall would be when all of this is finally pushed out into the world and, you know, we're finally able to share it and people are able to resonate with it. And it's all about sharing the labor of love, you know, and eating and feasting with other people, the ideas that we have, feasting together on them and, you know, being joyful and just relaxing and basking in. I think we as a society forget this very important part. You know, we're on to the next idea. So it's almost like we go from summer back to winter. Or sometimes some people go from like summer to summer to summer. We forget that there's like all these other seasons. And we forget to tap ourselves on the back after a long, hard work of summer and really just enjoy that moment of like, oh, I made this. You know, it's like, I did it. I'm done. That's also a very important part, I think, of the whole process.
And it can be like where you have, like you might have one project that's in winter and another one that's in summer.
You mean like actual seasons?
Like, no, I mean like if you have a couple things going on, like maybe some smaller things while you're creating the bigger thing, that they might be at different places.
Oh, right, right. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
But I think what I liked about this was the whole idea that there are these stages to this process, that it's, there is that time to take, like to tune in and to get the signs or do it however, whatever way you one does it, take that time and then to keep moving through stage by stage. What I was taught by a lot of online internet people that I actually no longer follow was aim, fire, ready, or something like that. Like, or fire, aim, ready. It's basically just put it out into the world. And, like, I think there is value to that if you're really holding yourself back. But at the same time, there's really something to be said for taking the time to be in alignment and do it with intention and care. One thing I want to ask is, you had said, this is a minute by minute, second by second struggle. This idea that social media is very important and an integral part of what I do, but it can become the thing that takes over. And then another time you said 90% of it is work, whether it's balancing your accounting books or doing taxes or talking to people, and 10% is pure creativity, where you're doing whatever it is that you do. So how do you keep creativity at the forefront when so much of the business piece takes up so much time?
I've been implementing different systems, I guess is the easiest way to say it, so that I can continue to free up more of that percentage, the creativity percentage, so I have more of that, you know, within the context of the business. And I have to continually remind myself, like, what am I doing? What is it that I'm doing? You know, am I a social media manager? Am I an accountant? Am I, you know, all these other things that you have to do in the business. But at the end of the day, what is your business about? My business is I'm an artist. And if there's no art, then there's no business. And so I think I keep coming back to that practical thought is, you know, I have to, no matter what, put that as a priority. If that means that I'm not getting to my emails today because there's some, you know, art-related creative thing that's taking over my mental space, then so be it. One of the systems I've implemented recently is, up until this point recently, I used to have a studio assistant who was amazing, and you know, and I love her dearly, and she's gone on to start her own business. But I decided not to take on another studio manager because of the need to, I think, quiet down again and reflect and reconnect with my clients and projects and really see what's happening. I think that having a studio manager was great because it did free up a lot more of my time to be creative. But at the same time, I started to feel, just myself, not because of the assistant, but because I was starting to feel like I was losing this connection towards the medium and towards, you know, projects and clients, which is something that I value deeply. And so one of the things I had to implement was on my email reply, I have a auto response where I tell people honestly that there's some emails I just can't reply back to, and the ones that I do are ones that are the ones that align with the studio philosophy and direction. And as much as it pains me that I can't reply back to each email, because I feel like when people are reaching out, whether it's a telemarketer or not telemarketer, I guess email marketer or, you know, anybody, whatever their reason is, I still feel like they deserve an answer, at least something, you know. And the reason why is because I've been on the other side where you're, you know, you're trying to reach out, you're trying to get some kind of response, and you know, you're getting nothing, and it just feels very empty. And I don't want people to feel like that, regardless of what their intentions are. I don't want to put that out into the world. But at the end of the day, I have to honor my own limits, and I found that that was very limiting to me. Is emails. And so that's one thing I had to implement, and it has freed up a lot of my time. And I feel like I'm a lot more potent with my work because it frees up a lot of mental space as well. And again, you know, other systems that work for me, using certain apps, keeping track of time, you know, little things like that, just to kind of see where I can squeeze in a little bit more creative time, and to keep that as the most important thing that I do.
And what about social media with that? Because it's a big part of business. It's a big part of putting your art out into the world. And you have a large audience. Like how do you navigate social media with creativity and making art?
Mm-hmm. I've gone back and forth on this, especially with, you know, the change of social media, you know, continuing to evolve and like so many new social media platforms popping up. I think where I'm at with it right now, and I don't know if it's going to change in the future, but what I'm at peace with right now is to not worry so much about like algorithms or like how many people are liking it or, you know, all the things that are related to social media that people tell you you need in order to build social media content and following. But what I found is it doesn't really matter what time of day I post something. And it doesn't really matter how many times I post. I mean, yes, you want to be somewhat frequent because those who have chosen to follow your journey are following it because they want to see what you're doing. And so I think, you know, in order to have that relationship, it's like, you know, okay, they choose to follow you, so your side of the agreement is that you'll share. But people will like what you put out there at whatever time of the day, if it's good, if it resonates with them. And that's the honest truth. It doesn't matter if you put it on the algorithm, it could be the worst time of the day to put it, worst time of the week. But if it's really good content, and good is what I mean by good is not social media good. Good meaning, does it really resonate with what you want to put out there to people? Is it something that you resonates with you? And so therefore you're excited to share with other people. So I don't share things anymore just to fill up my Instagram feed or Twitter feed or whatever it is, or, oh, I need to post once a day. Or I only share when I have something I need to say, whether it's a poem or a prose that comes through, or if something that I created really sparks something inside me, like a new piece that I had scribbled on my sketchbook that I'm really excited about, I'll post it. And honestly, sometimes people will respond to it really well. Other times people will be like, okay, you know, and I think even that too, I'm at a point where I understand that that in itself is okay. That's just social media, you know, not everybody's going to be like super excited about everything you do, and that's okay.
One of the things, like you said, you only post something when you have something to say, and mm-hmm. and if you feel good about it, then it doesn't matter. So, I mean, if it's good, it will get the likes regardless of what time you post and all of that. And I think one of the things that I come back to again and again, and have seriously, like over the years, have yet to find an answer that really resonates for me, that feels right, is the thing with social media is a lot of times I ask myself, okay, what can I add that isn't just more noise? So is that something that comes up for you? If it does, how do you deal with that?
I guess I come back to this. What is the purpose of having that social media platform for me? Mm-hmm. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But for me, why do I continue to post? Is it because I want the followers and I wanted to bring in business? Because some people, that might be the reason. And that's okay. You know, I think that's totally fine. But for me, I think it's because it's another way of reaching people that maybe I might not be able to reach otherwise and connect with. And I want to share whatever universe message comes through or whatever artwork that I'm excited about. I want to share with people and connect. And that's the real reason why I continue to do social media, is there's things that I'm excited about and there might not be anybody around me in the close vicinity that I can relate with, but on social media, you connect with like thousands of people all over the world. And there are people out there who do see eye to eye with you. And it's so exciting when they are like, yeah, you know, I feel you, like, yeah, I'm excited about that too. Or, you know, and you get to feel like there's this tribe of people. Yeah. And you know, that you're not alone. And I think that in itself is so valuable with social media. So I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, I'm thankful for all the people who choose to follow my account, and I'm thankful for all the support, and I'm thankful, very, very thankful that it connects to work. But at the very, very end of the day, if I were to simplify it, it is truly because I want to connect with others. And that's also the reason why I stay on social media, because I want to discover other people too and connect with those who are very inspiring as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that question. What is the purpose of having this social media account? And I mean, it's such a simple question, and then yet it's like, oh, that's right, just have to come back to the purpose, right? It's all these things where everything else gets so distracting that I'm like, oh, that's right, it's just that question that makes it so much easier. But so when you're writing to people, because another thing that you had talked about, like you talk this was actually in a conversation that you were having with Jesh, who's someone else that's I interviewed for this season. You talked about how the essence of who we are is the same, that at that level, we can all relate to one another. My question is, like, when you write and paint, are you writing and painting to connect with the essence of just humanity, or are you holding a specific person, people in mind that you want to connect with?
Definitely the beginning, the first thing you mentioned. Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, and again, I think during this conversation, I'm also having these realizations that at the end of the day, purpose is so simple and the answers that we seek are always so simple. And with painting, with writing, with anything creative, I think the beauty of it is that it is so simple to connect with other people, whether it's music, dance, you know, there's this part of something about it that's just so beautiful and so simple that really hits deep, deep into our core being. And that's the part that I truly feel one of the driving forces of why I continue to create, is because I want to even if it's for a split second, you know, be a part of that world, you know, whatever it may be to that person, you know, because I want to be talking and communicating and connecting with people on that level. And I feel like I do that the best when I'm painting and when I'm writing, because it comes from that place within me. And so I feel like when we present ourselves like that to the world, naturally, I think people come to that space with that type of, I don't want to say like intention really, because you don't, it's really subconscious almost, where you just feel it. And so therefore you're there already by the time you realize, you know.
So when you say, is this goes back to the beginning, but when you say, when you're wondering about, is my art connecting in the way that I want it to connect? Like, am I coming from my essence, connecting to the essence of an, like, what, how do you want your art to connect?
It's exactly that, is that when someone, and it's hard to put into words because I think it's more of like an experience, but I want people to, when they see anything that maybe I create, whether it's a painting or it's a writing, to feel that deep, that soul essence of who they are, truly who they are, to be seen, or to feel something inside there like moved, or to be like awakened, or to be tickled, or however it may feel. But it's almost this part of us that we feel alive and we feel recognized and seen, because it's this core part of us that is being connected to. And a lot of times when we are moved by, you know, a book that we read, or by a painting that we see, or by a speech that we hear, or by a dance that we, you know, go and see, it's because of something within that. It's not anything specific per se, like, oh, that color or that word, but it's that whole entire piece, that whole entire thing of it, that really connects to this like deeper core part of us, that helps us to remind us of, oh, I haven't felt that in a while. Like, what is that? Or, oh, I feel so inspired. I want to go do this. Or, and I think that's what I want, is to continue to like, not provoke really, but like awaken and like rile that part up and be like, look, you know, we are all living, breathing beings. We have this very, very, very like beautiful, deep core essence of who we are that sometimes we don't cherish and we don't honor and we don't recognize and respect. A lot of it would be solved if we were to just kind of tune into ourselves and be like, look, how is it that we want to live, and what does that look like to us? And I think these creative things that are put out into the world are opportunities for those moments that we can be questioning, like, oh, I think those are the things that I am constantly hoping for when I create.
And if it doesn't feel like it's getting there, that's when you would come back to those questions of, okay, what does it mean to be in alignment? Like, how can I do this in a way that it is hitting the mark? Like, that's when you come back to the questioning piece of it.
Yeah.
You said that if you don't do your morning practices like meditation and spending time outdoors, it will show up in your paintings. How important is the time not making art to making art?
Oh, I mean, I would say the time not making art is almost the time that I'm making art. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's almost like by the time I get to the paper and painting, it's the work has already been done. I'm just almost like I'm just putting like the final last bit of it, like the icing on the cake almost. The things that I do outside of the studio, meditation, journaling, reading, contemplating, all those living life experiences, all those things I think are the actual structure of the cake. To per se, you know, the filling and the sponge and, you know, all the flavorings, everything and anything that goes into the actual look of the cake, I think is outside the studio. By the time I come in and the work is starting to get put down on paper, I'm finishing the icing and the decorations on top. So it's very, very important for me. And the way that it shows up in the work is that if I don't do it, and if I'm not in the right mental state, spiritual state, the work feels disconnected to me. I look at it and I'm feeling, it's not like it's I don't want to say it's not like it's ugly, or it's not like there's anything specifically blaringly. Sometimes there is actually, like, it'll be, you know, a lot of black paint on it or something that just feels very off for me. But a lot of times it's just a disconnect where I feel like I'm looking at the piece and it doesn't do anything for me. I'm not connecting with it. And that's when I know, okay, there's something missing and I need to go back outside of the studio and do my work.
If you feel off, you know to stop and to return to your practices.
Yeah. So I think, I'll definitely stop. I won't keep going, in that direction. And it can be a multiple of things. Sometimes it's just meditating. Other times, it could still be in the studio, but I could be doing something else, like rearranging my materials. I can go back to sketching, look at some books, go take a nap, journal, of course, read, anything and everything that I have felt has brought me back to my essence or myself. Mm-hmm. Anything that feels very connected to me, I'll go back there. Maybe sometimes it's cooking, yoga, other things aside from that very thing that I was doing is what I'll do to get back to this kind of connection that I feel.
Before I ask the last question and do the last part of the interview, is there anything that came up over this time together that you feel like, oh, you wanted to say more about, or that just made you think of something that you wanted to share with people listening?
Yeah, I think that even through this interview, I'm learning a lot, just by voicing things or like hearing your response, even the vibration, tonal quality of your voice. There's so many moments and instances in our life that I think pass us by without us realizing that there's so much richness and so much that we can extract from every little thing that happens to us. And we take so much for granted, so much, you know, and whether it's, again, I tell this to people all the time and some people might not get it, but going to the bathroom by ourselves, being able to wash up and brush our teeth by ourselves, being able to breathe by ourselves, you know, being able to look out the window and see clearly the sky, being able to smile at our loved ones and hear their voices, all these things that pass us by as if it's just our everyday. There's so much within that joy and happiness and things that we can learn from. And I think that, you know, we, and myself included, you know, get very caught up in the idea of needing to like do something, and we need to like push things out, and we need to impress people, and, you know, however ways that we put pressure on ourselves and stress. Sometimes, yes, again, it's necessary. Sometimes it's okay, you know, stress is not always a bad thing, but I feel like this time that I've spent with you, Daphne, it continues to reinforce the idea of when we take the time to reflect and when we take the time to like really enjoy moments with other people or just moments that we have with ourselves, that there's so much insight to that, that we don't have to always necessarily go searching for it. You know, it's really infused in our everyday life, moment by moment. And that if we can start to really harness that and like cherish that, that it can lead us to the very things that we're looking for. For example, again, this conversation, I'm already inspired to go into the studio and start writing and painting. Mm-hmm. And I know it's because of this time that we spent together. And so I just hope that, you know, whoever's listening to this podcast, I'm, you know, truly grateful that, you know, there's this opportunity to share. But at the same time, I hope that it has also been a moment where that, you know, each individual can see that whatever it is that they're doing is definitely good enough for this time and place in their life, wherever they may be. They might just be starting. They might just be thinking about it. Maybe they're not even there yet, but that's like perfectly fine. And that's where they are in their life. That's where they, I don't want to say should be, but that's where it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if anything, that's that there's so much within that time that they're spending right now, contemplating and wondering or fearing or wherever it is, that I just hope that people can really grasp a hold of that. Because I think that's, by being able to really harness it and break it down and like making it a part of yourself, it helps to build to like the next step that you need to take. And that's, I think, what I've been learning for the past, I don't know, 7-8 years that I've been doing what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think this is one of the reasons that I love to do interviews, is because of the presence, like what happens when we pay attention. It's like when I'm in conversation with someone like this, I'm paying very close attention, and it reminds me about the rest of the time interviewing someone, how valuable, how beautiful it is, how much richer my life is when I'm paying this level of attention. And so yes, it's this constant reminder, oh yeah, can you carry this out? Can you take it off the mat? What does it look like when you take it off the mat? What does your practice look like off the mat? It's just, there's so much richness in, as you say, going to the bathroom by ourselves and being able to smile at our loved ones and hear what they say. And there's so much, and it's so easy to forget that. So,
Yeah.
Okay. So before I ask the last question, where would you like to send people to see your art and get to know the work that you're doing?
People can find me on satsukishibuya.com. That's my main website. Everything is linked there, the social media channels and all the work that I've been doing recently. I'm very active on Instagram. And on Twitter, I tend to share more articles or happenings or things that are catching my attention, anything from like animals to humanitarian videos to art, you know, things that have been catching my eye, music. So if people are interested in more of like the personal side, you know, I'm on Twitter doing that. Where else can people find me? Pinterest. If anybody's interested in what's catching my visual attention, they can find me there under Satsuki Shibuya. I also have a YouTube channel that's not often updated, but it's where I post my Instagram story or Instagram live sessions. So a lot of times I go on to Instagram live maybe once a month or so. And I'm there just open to answering any questions that people have, whether spiritual, art related, or beyond. I try to be an open book and just be there when I connect with others. And I have a newsletter, which you can find. It's satsukishibuya.com/newsletter. And I send it out once a month. And on there, aside from what's happening in the studio, I write a letter to only the subscribers. And a lot of time it is a very spiritually driven letter, but it talks about a particular something, subject matter that's been on my mind. And I dive pretty deep into it and how it has affected, whether it's my work or my outlook on life. So those are some places people can find me.
Perfect. Then I have the gratitude and then last question. And as always, I'm extremely grateful for you. Your commitment to being in this world in a way that is so intentional, so in align with who you are, with your purpose, and the work that you put out into the world, that it be aligned, that it be done with love, that it be created to basically create more love in the world and help all of us, as we witness your work and as we witness you, helps all of us be more in touch with our own essence. And that's absolutely what it does for me. I have no idea what I said on the last gratitude, so hopefully I'm not repeating myself, but it is absolutely what happens. I definitely feel more connected to this, the idea of who I really am at my core. And it's not only that I feel more connected, I feel more courageous to be that person in the world. Like who you are gives me courage to be myself in the world. So I'm always very grateful for you. And The last question, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is, well, I'm going to read something that you said, and then I'm going to ask the question. You said, not all things need to be addressed forcefully. Quiet contemplation, precise action, fierce as a lion, sharp as a blade, swift as a ninja. Be exact in when to take action to create the most impact. Now, the way that I'm going to interpret this for the question I want to ask is, I've been thinking a lot about activism and how we use creativity to create change in the world, and leaning more in the direction of using creativity to care for the world and how we can use creativity to care for one another and to help our world be as healthy, sane, beautiful place to be as possible. And I'm wondering, like, with that, when you say not all things need to be addressed forcefully, how do you see art as a way to help the world?
Well, firstly, thank you for your gratitude thoughts. I'm trying not to cry. So I'm not just sniffling here while I'm talking, but thank you so much. I'm so moved. You have no idea how much your thoughts mean to me. Again, because of what we've shared in this conversation, that, you know, a lot of times we all question whether what we're doing is making any kind of impact to anybody. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
As far as your question, I think that it's really wonderful how people are becoming more vocal about injustice and inequality, about human rights, about people's needs, and what is lacking, I think, as far as where we are placing our attention. All those things, I think, are really wonderful. But with that said, there's also a part of me where, and I've seen this happen, and I think that I wouldn't say to the point of torn, but I would definitely say I've meditated on it, I've thought about it a lot, is that we can show our activism, we can show our point of view and our strong thoughts in different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be in someone's face screaming it, or, you know, like protesting all the time, or writing things that are, you know, very, very outspoken, you know, all of those things. Yes, I think that it's good that it's out in the world. So I'm not saying that it should not be out there, but I think that is done by people who feel that that is their need. Again, we go back to this whole idea of purpose. Everybody has their purpose. Everybody has their way of expressing things. And so these people who choose to express this way, I think I'm all for. I'm 100% backing them. But I also support and back those who are quieter, who put these energies and thoughts out into the world through whether it's art or some form of writing. And it might not be so direct. It might not be so in your face, like a political painting or a feminist book. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be that. It can be very quiet, very subtle, because there are people in the world who, some people will hear the people who are shouting, and that's maybe what they need to hear to wake up. Other people, maybe they can't hear the shouting anymore because it's gone over their head. Maybe what will really affect them is when they happen upon these quiet moments and they hear this nuance and they're like, oh, I never really thought about it like that. And it can really affect them to the core because of the way that it's delivered. And so I think there's a place, as that poetry says, is that what's most important is not so much of the volume or like the way that we, you know, we don't all have to deliver it the same way, but the most important thing is, do we feel like we are delivering it in a very potent, exact way? Do we feel like that is at the core of our being? Do we believe in it 100%, 110%, that that way of delivery is the best potent way that we can do it? And if that's true, then it will definitely affect someone. At least this is what I believe. It will affect someone in a way and in time, the way that they need to hear it. And so with art, I think that, again, there's so many different ways that, you know, we can categorize art, you know, not just painting and art, you know, illustration and that kind of art, but there's the art of speech. There's the art of, we talked about it, art of interviewing. There's the art of community. There's the art of, you know, women gatherings. And so within this context of art as creativity, art as healing, and art as support system, I think that there is a way of addressing it so that it is very meaningful and potent for the people that need it at that time. All we have to do is make sure that we are creating that space, that we are creating that medium or that piece or whatever it may be, that making sure that we are creating it so that it is available for the people that need it when the time comes or when the opportunity comes, that the paths align. Anytime that we put anything out that is not fully potent, and again, there's a difference between being 100% sure of what you're doing and doing something versus you're in the unknown, but it's still aligning with your being. That's still okay. You still put that out there. Even if it's not 100% in its full form of whatever vision you have, that's okay, because as long as the intention is still there, it will still be potent the way that it's meant to be. So again, it's not trying to tell people like, okay, you know, you have to have like all of your ducks in a row and you have to have everything ready to go and you put it out into the world because you think it's 100% ready. No, it's, are you sure that it aligns with your being? Are you sure it aligns with what you believe in, your values, your purpose, what you think are your purposes? And again, that even doesn't have to be complete. It just has to feel right at the end of the day. It has to feel like, yes, I want to put this out into the world because I think it's a value. I think it's something valuable to me. And then the value for other people will come as time progresses, as it builds momentum, as it builds character and all the things that we want to happen to our dreams and our aspirations and our goals. That all comes within time, and other people bring that richness into whatever it is we're doing. We just have to make sure to keep that space available and keep that vision intact so that people can find it and make sure that they can have what it is that they need.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to have to go journal after this. So much stuff to write down.
I know. That's why I wanted to have you back. So, I'll just officially say thank you. And thank you for being a return guest and coming back to the Creativity Habit.
Thank you again for having me. It was such a pleasure spending time together with you and your listeners.
I'm Daphne Cohn, and you've been listening to the Creativity Habit Podcast. For more conversations with brave and experimental artists, and to learn more about the collective, head on over to thecreativityhabit.com. You can follow The Creativity Habit on Instagram, and you can support the podcast and the artists on it by going to iTunes Podcasts and subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. Now, to review, you actually have to get on your laptop and subscribe to the podcast, and it does take a few minutes. But the more reviews, the more folks know about all these incredible artists and makers doing such beautiful work in the world. So thank you for taking a little bit of your time to share your thoughts over at iTunes. And then join me next week for another Creativity Habit podcast. Thank you for listening.